Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
In a Brexit development, the Taoiseach announced this afternoon that he's going to meet the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson in New York next week, where he said he'll try and get a deal. Combined with a series of announcements in the last 24 hours, the comment has set analysts abuzz with speculation that, behind the scenes, serious progress on an agreement might now be afoot. Are those hopes premature, though? For more, I'm joined by the Irish Examiner political editor Daniel McConnell, on the line from Belfast by Ben Lowry, the deputy editor of the newsletter. Daniel, just go through, will you please, the series of announcements we've had over the last number of days that have probably led to speculation and fueled the speculation. Hello, Daniel. No, Daniel's not there. Ben, are you with us? And we're having a difficulty talking to Ben as well. Daniel, are you back to us?
Hello, can you hear me?
That's Daniel, is it? Hello,
yes.
Daniel.
Yes, Mary, yeah,
you're
Daniel
on air.
Here.
Thank you very much for joining us, Daniel. I was asking you there about the series of events, really, that have taken place, the series of announcements we've had this week or meetings we've had this week that are kind of fueling this speculation that perhaps slowly, and we'll whisper it, something might be afoot on Brexit.
Sure, there was a great deal of significance placed, Mary, on an apparent shift in position by Arlene Foster, the DUP leader. She was given a talk in Dublin last night, and in conjunction with that, she held a 45-minute meeting with the Taoiseach, in which she seemed to suggest that some form of a Northern Ireland only solution would be acceptable. Obviously, she then caveated it with that, you know, they would have to come out of the customs unions and the single market. So, but it signalled more in tone rather than in content, a kind of a softening in her position. Then, obviously, you've had a meeting between Pascal Donoghue, the finance minister, and his opposite number, Sajid Javid, in Fermanagh this afternoon. And again, you know, this is the third meeting the two men have had now in recent weeks. And then, as you said in your introduction there, that there's been confirmation of that the Taoiseach is due to meet with Boris Johnson again in New York on the fringes of the United Nations Assembly next week. So all of this is coming together at a time when obviously time is running short in relation to Brexit, that some sort of a deal may be possible. Now, even this morning, the Taoiseach was out kind of dampening down expectation. He said that the gap between the Irish and the EU position and where the UK are is still very, very large, and that was predicated primarily on the basis that no firm document had landed from the UK side into Michel Barnier's task force. Now, there's been movement on that today. Obviously, we've seen what have been described as non-papers in a very Brussels-type description, that these are essentially preliminary papers setting out broad outlines of where a deal might be possible. And certainly an EU spokeswoman this afternoon is saying, you know, we're very much touching gloves here. We're very much going to look and examine what these papers will have, but they're not of a sort of a formal offer as of yet, or, you know, a kind of a formal paper that one would traditionally kind of be used to in these sort of EU negotiations.
Nonetheless, something written down at last.
Indeed, and progress at least, because the big complaint from the Irish side and certainly from the EU side of the UK government in recent days and weeks has been the rhetoric from Westminster has not been matched by action, that there's been an absence of something written down in paper. At last, we have something that could easily form the basis of an agreement.
Ben Lowry is with us as well from the newsletter in Belfast. Ben, how are your DUP sources viewing Arlene Foster's visit to Dublin last night, the what she was saying, albeit no customs union, out of the single market, but maybe some shift in position there. How are they viewing it, and what are they suggesting might be happening?
Well, I phoned round a number of DUP MPs this afternoon who didn't phone me back, and I spoke to a number of senior people behind the scenes in the DUP. And they say that there isn't a big change, that what they're trying to do is reinstate the role of Stormont, which was in the revised backstop of 2017. Remember that there was an original Northern Ireland only backstop, and then the DUP got it changed so that Stormont would have a role. And there is a view that was just ditched by the EU. So that they say nothing really has changed. I think to cut to the crunch in this, what clearly has changed, where there clearly has been movement, however they put it, is with regard to agricultural stuff. Well, you know, what would in effect be a single agricultural zone. And even then, the DUP are cautious. They're saying that there are already these checks in the Irish Sea for animal loads, and there might be slightly more checks and so on. What it actually means, I don't know. But it seems to me that with regard to what Simon Coveney is saying, in terms of what the Irish rhetoric has been to date, that wouldn't even be close to enough for a deal. So looking at it from outside, by which I mean looking at it from DUP politicians who are not revealing very much at the moment, maybe mm-hmm. because they're nervous, maybe because they think they're on the verge of something, and looking at the Republic from outside, in which I'm just reading what they say and what they've always been saying, it seems to me that there's still this very big gap.
And in that case, Ben, if the DUP, if Arlene Foster believe that there's some movement on their side, or there's some give on their side, are they looking to Dublin and saying, come on, show us your moves?
There's no doubt that they are. And I think it's a really important thing. There's no question that unionists have lost the narrative in this. They lost the narrative a long time ago. And just to try to explain to listeners in the Republic the unionist perspective on this, the perspective is that the backstop, if it came in law, there's all this talk about the backstop would never actually necessarily come in effect, but if it came in law so that it was there in the background, the unionist argument is that Northern Ireland would forever be on the EU side in terms of customs, which is tariffs, in terms of regulations, which is goods. Northern Ireland would always be on that side, because even though the backstop would only be in the background, once you've conceded that in law, the EU and Ireland are never going to accept anything else. So what unionists have been trying to say is this is a massive, massive change. And there is a unionist argument, even Jim Allister's already making it, that even conceding that in agriculture, essentially Britain losing control of that forever, is a very, very big thing. So they feel that there has to be movement on the Irish side. I think the most optimistic thing, if Ireland isn't going to move from the Irish perspective, is that Boris Johnson is clearly trapped. The man is just trapped. He's very seriously and badly trapped. So might it be that he ends up, is actually thinking of getting Labour MPs and other people to force through the withdrawal agreement anyway? There's disagreement in that.
Indeed.
Do you feel confident he doesn't have the numbers, even if he gets Labour MPs?
Just finally back to you, Daniel. Do you see any sign on the Irish side that there might be some change to the backstop, or to how they see the backstop, or how they see its purpose?
Certainly behind the scenes, Mary, what you've been getting from Irish senior Irish government sources is a kind of a willingness to look at alternative options that would, I suppose, protect the core Irish interest, that is, the sort of Ireland's membership of the EU and the single market and the customs union. But they are willing to look at some arrangements that would maybe kind of overcome the impasse to date, that, you know, addresses the sort of unionist concerns. How you exactly square that circle is still the tricky element of it.
Indeed.
But as well, also, I think what you have, I suppose, what you would probably like to see is kind of a bit of flexibility from the EU side in terms of enforcement on any sort of single market or the integrity of the single border. That's been well flagged already. So there may be further room to kind of maybe, you know, phase this out over a bit of time.
Right.
Because this only really becomes an issue when, say, UK law and EU law diverge. It's not really an issue as of now, because they're still all on the same page.
All right, Daniel McConnell and Ben Lowry, thank you both very much. A little later than usual, we're going to sport shortly. It's 25 minutes to 6.